Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Good afternoon and welcome to Center Stage. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Today's show, we're going to go back and revisit a topic that we covered last week concerning the residents of Lake Como. This has been a very busy week in that community. They had two community meetings and a community vote about the Samaritan House project building a $15 million facility that will house those infected with HIV. The vote was 365-41 against the project. If this was an episode of Survivor, the host would say the tribe has spoken. The torch for the Samaritan House would be put out, and the rest would be history. That said, why are so many concerned that Tuesday's city council meeting may not turn out the same way for Lake Como? Some are saying that the Samaritan House already has the green light from the city on this project. Will the mayor and the city council disregard what the residents of Lake Como want and bring this project into Lake Como anyway? We will see. My guest today is Pastor W.L.D. Campbell. He is the pastor of the West Mount Moriah Baptist Church in Como. He was on last week to help us understand why he and 15 other pastors were against the project coming into Lake Como. Right now, we really are a little confused because I myself attended the vote on last week, and I saw as I reached the community center just a sea of cars. I was outside of the community center and talked to hundreds of people, and the feeling, in my opinion, was overwhelming. It was just clear to me that the people said no in more ways than one with their presence. The fact that they went out and voted, they talked about it, everyone was clear on the issues, and the vote spoke for itself. That said, we're not sure why people are saying that the Samaritan House is going to come in there anyway. But I did feel that the people of Lake Como were organized. They were prepared for a long fight if need be. They seeing that they understood that sometimes even though you may not want a thing to happen, unless you show with, protest, sometime it will happen anyway. And they were prepared, I believe, to do that. I'm waiting on my guest, Pastor Campbell, to call in. Pastor Campbell right now is being flooded with the media. Channel 11 and Channel 8 are headed toward West Mount Moriah Church right now to interview Pastor Campbell as he does this interview with me. If you all would like to call in and discuss it with me, tell me what you thought of what happened this week, you can call in to 347-850-8390. Again, if you would like to tell me your thoughts about what happened this week or what is going on with the Samaritan House Project, if you were for or against it, call 347-850-8390. I'd love to hear from you. Let's go to the phone lines. 817-600. You're on the line. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Doing well. My name is Chancellor Jenkins, and I'm actually calling on behalf of Pastor Maurice Barnes at Zion Baptist Church here in Lake Como.
Okay.
First of all, I'm sure he would want to tell the citizens of Como thank you for the efforts in coming out on Thursday, as you stated. They came out in large numbers, men, women, boys, and girls. Those who were able to vote and even those who weren't able to vote still came out and showed their support. And the ministers and churches in this area are wanting to definitely tell the community thank you for their support. It's not over with yet. On June 8th, they still have to go down to city council, and they are taking four buses down to city council. And for those who are unable to drive and those who may not feel like driving, you could still get on the bus in front of Como Elementary at the corner of Libby and Horn Street and go down to city council. The community has spoken in the effect that the community does not wish to see the Samaritan House come in Lake Como. It was very clear when the vote was taken that this community has decided and that we are together, although many said we were divided. That is for sure not the case.
Okay.
We are very much against having that in our community, and we are prepared to go down to city council mm-hmm. and as one unit and as one body, letting the council members know and Mayor Mike Moncrief know that we are against this and that our voices should be heard at this point. And that we are looking for our city council representative, Carter Burdett, to speak up for his district now. And that is what we're looking for. And he also came on Thursday and told the community that it's not the city council's final decision whether or not the Samaritan House comes out here. But what he did make very clear is that the vote that will occur on the 8th from the city council will be how much money is allocated to those who are pushing for the Samaritan House to be out of here. And that is what we're going downtown for now, is to tell city council that we do not want that money allocated to the Samaritan House. If they want for something, for that money to be allocated, let the community come up with a way and decide how that money should be allocated. Give that money to the school, or let us come up with some other way for that money to benefit this community better. And so we're just letting them know that we don't want that money given for the Samaritan House, and we do not want it here in Lake Como.
But aren't they asking, caller, for tax dollars from the city, from the county, and from the state? Per the article I read, I believe in May 10th, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Is that not the case?
I believe they are getting asking for federal dollars as well as tax dollars. But I know from my research and so forth that the money so far that they have been asking for, I believe it's about $61,000 of it, will be coming from the city of Fort Worth.
Okay.
Now, the rest of the money, I'm not quite sure, but I know at least $61,000 of that Samaritan House project money would be coming from the city of Fort Worth, and that's what the vote will be deciding on the 8th.
So were you at the vote on the 3rd?
Yes, ma'am. I was at the vote on the 3rd at the community center.
Tell me this. What was the mood of the people there? I was there. I know what I felt. What did you feel?
Well, I can tell you that the community, you know, people were saying that the community was divided, but the atmosphere in that building was not a divided spirit. But that it was a group coming together. Actually, the spirit was thriving. People were enjoying themselves, being able to see each other, coming out and doing something and support the community. That event that occurred down at that community center showed the city that Como is alive and well, and we're vibrant.
Okay.
And we still have a major voice in our community. And in our city,
okay.
And we are we came out in major numbers. Like I said, old, small, young, it didn't matter. Black, Hispanic, white, they were all there, and they came to let city council know that we are here, we're not moving anywhere, and that we do not want that project out here, that Samaritan House, in our community. And the feeling and the atmosphere was wonderful on the day of that vote.
I agree with you. Thank you so much for that call, caller.
Yes.
817-731, you're on the line.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Pastor Campbell.
Hey, Pastor Campbell. I thought, you know what, I was like, did you leave me out here? How you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing very fine. How are you?
I'm good. I know you got a lot going on. Pastor Campbell is hosting the media end of it, and Channel 11 and Channel 8 are en route, or have they made it there yet already, Pastor?
Yes, ma'am. Channel 11 is in here with me right now. Arzo and Jack are right here, and I think Channel 8 came in, but they might have gone. They wanted to know where everybody was calling in from.
Okay. Can you explain that to me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Pastor Campbell, as I asked the last caller, what was the mood that you felt at the vote on the 3rd? How did you feel that the people that came out, what was the mood of the people?
Well, the mood of the people was one of concern. They wanted their voices to be heard, but it was a calmness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was a. I don't want to go back to the 60s when in the civil rights movement, mm-hmm. but it was more of a calmness, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We know what we have to do. We're going to do it, and we're going to do it orderly. We're going to be heard, but we're going to do it very orderly.
Mm-hmm. So when you all go to the city council meeting on the 8th, what are you telling the people to be prepared for?
Well, number one, be prepared to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Wear comfortable clothing. Wear comfortable shoes. Mm-hmm. Be prepared to wait. And then be prepared to let your voices be heard.
Mm-hmm.
We think this is very critical that you do the two things. Be there, be prepared to wait, and then be prepared to allow your voices to be heard.
Pastor Campbell, if things don't go so well at the city council meeting on the 8th, what is Lake Como prepared to do?
Well, I really don't know what the next step would be unless we challenged it in the courts.
Okay.
If we have to do that, we'll do it.
Okay. Because I had spoken with you earlier this week, and you were telling me about some of the locations of the Samaritan House in other cities. What did you find out as far as that was concerned?
A friend of ours, Mr. George Barnes, went on the Internet and found out that there were Samaritan houses in other communities or other cities in our country,
mm-hmm.
and none of those Samaritan houses were located in residential areas.
Mm-hmm.
They were mostly in, or the ones that we saw were in commercial areas.
Mm-hmm.
So my concern is, why would you want to put it now in a residential community?
Okay.
What's the purpose in doing that? Now, the bigger picture, let's kind of look at a big picture. Let's just go hypothetically for a moment.
Okay.
Suppose the intent was to close the Samaritan House down that is on Hemp Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Because all that area is maybe hospital district and some other things, and maybe the city is moving out southward. You know, they're revitalizing that whole area. And maybe they really need to get rid of the Samaritan House in that location. And maybe they found that if they came to Lake Como, they could tear that facility down and just move everybody this way.
Mm.
Just a thought.
But didn't Pastor Barnes say on last week that that would just saturate the Lake Como community in terms of it's a community that already has issues, and then if you take and you put that on top of what's already there, it's just going to be too much?
I think he did say that, and I would amplify that as well. You don't want to add to an existing concern already.
Mm-hmm.
There are other methods that you can do, other concerns that can be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to do it that way.
Okay. See, some are saying, Pastor, though, that the actual location that they're talking about putting the facility at is currently the Vickery Motel, and there's prostitution there, and there's some illegal activity going on there, and some are even trying to make the argument that anything will beat what's there already. What's your argument as far as that's concerned?
Well, if that was the only place that there is illegal activities going on, I would say, yes, let's do something about that. And we are doing something about it as a church community.
Okay.
However, that's not the only place where illegal activities are going on.
Okay.
Just say that they're right there in that little corner of Lake
okay.
Como
okay.
and not anywhere else in this city. To me, that's an understatement, and it's a misstatement.
Okay.
As illegal activities going on all over the place.
So putting that project there is not going to fix the problem. It's just going to add another type of problem.
That's all it's going to do. That is all it's going to do. It's going to amplify what's already happening, so they say.
Let me ask you this. When you all were initially told about the Samaritan House, who was going to be living in the facility? What were you all told?
We were told, firstly, that there would be persons, individuals, who had HIV/AIDS, persons who were homeless,
mm-hmm.
women, single moms, and children.
Okay.
That's what we were initially told by Mr. Steve Dutton.
Do you think that has changed at all?
Of course I do. Of course I do. I think it's going to be ex-offenders, those who are, don't get it confused with sex offenders. I'm saying ex-offenders, those persons who have gotten out of the system, who've gotten out of prison, and they are coming to a halfway place.
Okay.
Okay. See, we already have something like that in this community.
Okay. Pastor, my concern is, and I think that's another member of the media trying to reach me on the line, I think my concern is if the people of Lake Como has overwhelmingly said no, in most areas of the city, let's just say over off 8th Street, if this had been the same type of vote in that community, do you think we would be talking about this right now?
That's a good question. It probably would have been some more backroom dealings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know for sure, and I don't want to say yay or nay, but the judgment would say if it had happened somewhere else in the city other than maybe a minority community,
mm-hmm.
possibly would have already been dealt with.
Okay. Listen, if you'd like to weigh in, call us at 347-850-8390. Again, if you'd like to weigh in on this topic, tell us what you think, 347-850-8390. Pastor, that said, when I was talking with some of the members of the community on the 3rd, and they were coming out of the meeting, some seemed to have the impression that, in all fairness, if I voted and overwhelmingly everyone said no, then that's it. That is not the message that you want to have them leave with, correct?
That is correct. It's kind of like an election for a senator, a president, anybody else. There's something called a primary, and then you go to the general election to vote.
Mm.
This might have been classed as a primary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but we have to go and speak it again.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, we have to show up, we have to be prepared to wait, and then we have to be prepared to speak. Okay, that's on June the 8th down at the City Hall.
But is it the case that really it's about the HIV issue more than anything? Is it because the community is fearful of having that many persons infected with HIV in the community? Is that what really is at the root of this?
You know, I've said this before, and let me say it again, and let me make this perfectly clear. We minister to people, and again, we as pastors in this community have compassion.
Mm-hmm.
We are not saying that HIV is the cause of why we do not want those persons or those individuals here. It's the Samaritan House here. It's not about that at all. I'm sure I minister to people who have HIV, but I also minister to people who have cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I minister to people who have leukemia. I minister to people who have Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
I minister to people who have dementia. I minister to people who are on dialysis.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about a person being ill. It's not about a person who has HIV. It's ultimately about why would you want to place a three-story building, commercial building, in a residential community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not about HIV at all.
So when they make that argument, that was just to deflect away from the issue of the fact that y'all just didn't want it in there. It's not about the people and the fact that a lot of the persons going to be housed in there are HIV infected.
Elaborate more, please.
Basically, you know, I've talked to some persons who are infected with HIV, and they said, you know, basically when you go to a restaurant, you don't know, who's cooking the food. So when you live next to someone, you don't know if they're infected. So they really didn't see, like, there being an argument, but they felt like the underlying issue was that's why y'all didn't want it in there. And I said, you know, I don't know because I'm not voting and I'm not a part of the community, so I didn't know. But that's what some of the persons that I came in contact with that had HIV were really feeling like they were being stigmatized if they went and lived in that, if the facility was built, that you all wouldn't want it there simply because they were infected with HIV.
I'm sorry they feel that way. I really am, and I hope that we can get beyond that prehistoric idea of you can get AIDS from drinking water behind someone or sitting on the toilet seat behind someone that is already infected with HIV. That's crazy. Okay. This is the 21st century. We're 10 years into the 21st century, and those ideas, I believe, were back in the 80s, 30 mm-hmm. years ago. What we want to say is, again, the ultimate issue is not the ministry of the Samaritan House. We as pastors applaud the ministry of the Samaritan House. However, there are other places that we believe are more conducive for that type of enterprise than out here in the Lake Como community.
Well, Pastor, you know what? Then my question would be, just, you know, playing devil's advocate, if not Lake Como, where?
How about Rivercrest?
Mm.
How about Westover Hills?
Mm.
How about Hillcrest?
Mm-hmm. Didn't you say that in most of the other cases, though, the properties are located in industrial areas or something to that effect?
That's what we saw on the Internet, yes.
Mm-hmm. So Hillcrest and the other area that you mentioned would not be industrial, would they?
No, but neither is Como.
Okay, this is point made.
I mean, you understand what I'm saying?
I do. And so you're not understanding then why they chose Como if in every other instance is somewhere industrial.
Well, what I heard was, and Mr. Steve Dutton said these words to us, the reason he selected Como was because the land was cheap here.
Hmm.
Now, let's do our history. Why? Why is certain dirt cheaper than other parts of dirt? It depends on who lives on top of the dirt.
Mm.
Okay?
So you felt like...
Historically, certain communities have lower value than others.
Hmm.
And everybody knows that. Okay?
Okay.
Based on nothing more than who lives on top of the dirt.
Hmm.
Okay?
I understand. Let me go to the phone lines. 214-564, you're on the line. Good afternoon. 214-564. I'm sorry, I dropped that call. I apologize, caller. But I understand. So you're saying it's because of the people that's – so you're saying they don't value the Como community.
I'm saying that they have devalued the Como community. However, Lake Como is a valuable piece of property to some.
Mm-hmm.
We're surrounded. Como is surrounded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And some people might desire one day to have this as nothing more than a warehouse district.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Pastor, I would think that Mayor Moncrief would be a fair mayor or is a fair mayor. I would think the city council would have heard what the people were saying, I would think. But if that's not the case and the people do go down to the city council on the 8th and the Lake Como residents don't get what they expect, do you then believe that maybe there was a backroom deal made with the Samaritan House in order to get it into Lake Como?
Logically, how can you ignore the will of the people?
Hmm.
365 persons voted against having the Samaritan House located in Lake Como.
Mm-hmm.
41 said yes. Now, no matter how you slice and dice it, the majority spoke in a loud way.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that something could happen like that would be if there had been some type of deal made without us knowing about it. And then if that be the case, then we have to do whatever we have to do legally to stop that particular project.
Now, some had, and you did not make this statement, but some had accused Mr. Bowes of making, she's the, I think, the chair of NAC, of making a backroom deal. And I asked her that on last week's show. Did she have some agreement with the Samaritan House outside of what she told the Lake Como residents? And she said no, you know, in fact, that was not true. That said, how else could it happen unless someone in that organization made the deal? Are you saying maybe like the city could have made a deal with the Samaritan House?
Possibly, but I don't know.
Okay. And I don't either. I had heard that several times, and I asked Ms. DeBose to address it because I felt it only fair to put it out there because so many were saying it. And I just thought if she had an opportunity to address it, at least we could have it out in the open. But Lake Como back in the 80s had a large criminal element going on out there. And some posed the question that why didn't the community get up in arms and get the drugs out of Lake Como? Why now are they arguing about a facility that is going to come into the community supposedly peacefully? What would your argument to that be?
Well, I was here in the 80s as well. I really didn't leave the Fort Worth community. I didn't leave Como.
Mm-hmm.
Como did have a bad rap, primarily because, and the way you have to look at it, you have to go back and check the history of any minority community.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is you have grandparents, parents, kids, right? As every generation matures, what happens is people start dying or people start moving out, all right? When we graduated from high school and our college, we did not have really any residences out here to build homes on. It's to build, a lot of us. So what we did, we moved outside the community, all right? Another element moved in, and that brought the property value down, and it also brought crime into the community. But no more than any other community. Lake Como had a bad rap, but Como is a marvelous community. People can walk and not be attacked. There's not been really any gunplay. The gangs, and all the city has gangs, but gang activity has diminished greatly. So I'm saying that even though we might have had a bad rap 25, 30 years ago, I think that has been diminished greatly.
I think I heard last week several callers touched on the issue that Lake Como is rich in history, that they've had a lot of great leaders in Lake Como. How would they feel about the Samaritan House, you think, coming into this area, and what would they be prepared to do to keep it out of there?
Many, many years ago, a group of Como leaders, and this is probably even this was before I was born. We found a letter in a book of pulpit commentaries where Pastor G.W. Burton, the pastor of Zion Baptist Church, along with Mr. Haley, who is the uncle of Alex Haley, who wrote the book Roots, and other community leaders, my father, George Campbell, and Mr. Wilburn and other community leaders petitioned the city back then to add street lights, sewer systems out here in this community. They did it through prayer, and they let their voices be heard, not in a radical way, but in a way where you actually pull the heartstrings of the people in power. You ask me what they would want to do today, they probably want to do the same thing we're doing. They loved Como 60, 70 years ago. We love Como today. And we're willing to stand up for her.
Callers, you have my phone lines jammed, but if you want to add to or weigh in on this subject, you have to press 1 so that I can come to you. Just listening is not going to keep Samaritan House out of Lake Como. If you want to stop that project from coming in, you're going to need to speak up and speak loudly. We appreciate your participation and listening, but we'd also like to hear from you. I think in order for the Samaritan House not to come into Lake Como, your voices are going to have to be loud, clear, and understood. Pastor Boyce, I'm shocked by that. My phone lines are jammed, but no one's talking. I don't understand if they understand the importance and the urgency in speaking out on this issue now.
I don't know either. I'm hoping that we can get it across that it must be attended. They must be prepared to wait but at the same time, they have to have the energy to speak up at the appointed time.
Mm-hmm. Because I think what I would think if it's kind of like if you were faced with a situation in which a gunman came to you and pointed a gun at you, it's either you fight to live or you may have your life taken away from you right then. The same sense of urgency needs to be with this. I think because if it is a dire issue that the Samaritan has not come into Lake Como, you're going to have to say that. You're going to have to say it with your voices. You're going to have to say it with your signs. You're going to have to say it with your presence at the city council meeting. You're going to have to fight with everything you got, I would think, in order to keep this from happening. I think that there's a lot more powerful people involved in this issue than you even realize. And I think unless you get up and do something about it, you could have kept your vote on the 3rd. I don't think just voting on the 3rd is going to be enough. Pastor, do you agree with that?
I definitely do. I don't know. I think that someone more powerful, earthly speaking, might be pulling strings, but we answer to a much, much, much higher calling than that.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times, unfortunately, in our community, we will talk about it on the front porch. We'll talk about it on the corner. We'll talk about it in the barbershop, but we don't get up and do enough when it comes down to letting people know that we won't be bulldozed past, we won't be run over, that we won't just allow whatever to be brought into our community. I think a lot of times the black community has a very lackadaisical attitude, if you will, about things. It's kind of like they just, you know, they'll say, well, you know, God will take care of it, or I didn't pray about it, I'm through with it. God says faith without works is dead. And I think that's what it's going to take. It's going to take some works in order to keep this out of Lake Como. You agree with that, Pastor?
I do believe that sometimes people have had a history where they prayed about it and turned it over to God. Of course, that's a misconception of the scriptures. The idea is what you just said. Faith, you can have all the faith in the world. But faith without doing something needs to be taken out to Skyview, City Hill, Greenwood, Laurel Land, and buried. Faith without works is dead.
I agree. Again, y'all are jamming my phone lines, but y'all need to speak up. Call in at 347-850-8390. Again, that's 347-850-8390. Pastor DeBarge and I Pastor Campbell and I cannot fight this battle for you. We have provided the forum, and all you guys need to do is speak up. Just tell us what you think. How did you vote? Whether you're for or against the project, did you feel that the Samaritan House should or should not come into the community? Are you okay if they do? Will you be upset if they do? We just want to know. Just tell us today how you will feel if, on the 8th, Mayor Moncrief and the City Council say that the Samaritan House project will move forward coming into Lake Como. That part I don't understand, Pastor Campbell, I don't understand, because to just listen and do nothing, that is not the way to make it happen. I think a lot of times people take us for granted because they know that if they stall us long enough, we'll probably walk away. If they push hard enough, we'll probably back down. And that's what I'm hoping that the Como community does not allow to happen. You agree with that?
I definitely do, and I think that we've got to get beyond that stereotype. We've got to get beyond that where we are just we'll come for a big hoopla the first time, and then after that, nothing.
I think, you know what, we got to get away from that pep rally mentality. You know, we need somebody to you know, come and cheer us on and get us going, and then, you know, 2 days later, we need another cheerleading session, you know, to get us going again. It's not just about, you know, the Samaritan House. It's about the fact that you don't want anything and everything just to come into Lake Como. You want to be able to say that as a community, we are unified in saying we don't want the Samaritan house and therefore it won't come in here. And that's what I think needs to be driven home, and maybe they don't get how important it is to stand unified and be prepared to do whatever to keep that project from coming into Lake Como.
I would liken it to this. Suppose you're a family member was in a home, and you were passing by that home, and you noticed smoke billowing from that house.
Mm.
Your loved one was in the house. Would you nonchalantly walk up to that house, knock on the door, and just say, hello, I noticed smoke billowing from your home?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you move with haste
mm-hmm.
and do all you could to get that person out of that? Well, that's how I liken this. We need to move with haste.
The house is on fire.
Yes, that's exactly right.
The house is on fire. I agree with you. That's an excellent example. The Lake Como house is on fire, y'all. And if y'all don't do something, it is going to burn down. I agree with that, Pastor. That is what, I saw that so often on the third. I saw people coming out of there, and they just had the attitude that, okay, I voted. Now what? But we gotta get busy. Let me go back to the phone lines. 817-763. You're on the line. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. My name is Brent Clark.
Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to say that I do not want the Samaritan house in this community.
Tell me why, Mr. Clark, you don't want it there.
Well, okay, I've been living out here all my life. And I just think, just like one lady said, that, you know, we're already kind of on a sinking ship.
Mm.
And we don't need all of that to help sink the ship that we already have. You know, I just feel like that would just help sink the ship that we're on.
Did you come out to the vote on the 3rd, Mr. Clark?
I sure did.
What did you feel the mood of the people were in the crowd at the community center?
Well, you know, I felt like it was the mood was unity with the people of Lake Como. Because they were able to get the people to come out to vote against something that we don't want.
Mm-hmm. Are you prepared, Mr. Clark, to do all you have to do in order to keep the Samaritan house from coming into Lake Como?
I sure am, because being known that I'm really a quiet person,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and I just say I'm going to call in to just voice my opinion, because I'm prepared to do whatever I can.
I would encourage
that we do not get the Samaritan house in this community.
So, how close to the facility do you live? If it were built in the Como area, how close to it are you?
I live on Blackmore, and it's just about six or seven blocks away from West Vickery.
Mm-hmm. Now, what exactly is your reason for not wanting it in your community?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, I'm against it because, I mean, we don't need the AIDS patients in this area because, I mean, if you got those people here in this community, they're going to walk through this community and or whatever. And, I mean, there are going to be men and women and which, I mean, if you're a good-looking man or a good-looking woman, somebody's going to want to talk to you and interact with you. You know, and which, I mean, if you follow what I'm trying to say.
I do. So you're afraid that if a good-looking woman, let's just say, happens to be HIV infected, and let's just say you are a single man, hypothetically, you might be interested in that woman, so therefore it's not safe for her to be in the neighborhood.
That's right. I mean, because, I mean, they might not want to tell you, oh, I'm HIV positive and, you know what? I just don't want.
I do, and Mr. Clark, I know I'm not making light of what you're saying. My devil's advocate question to you would be then: couldn't you meet that person at McDonald's or downtown or anywhere else in the city? So, is it fair to just say, based on what you said, not to bring them in there because they may be your neighbor?
Sure could, and then I mean, it's not just the AIDS patients that are going to have people that's been in the system and stuff. I mean, because I already see people walking down through the community now But, you know, they're just looking for something to get into, and these are people that I haven't seen before.
Okay. And so you're concerned about them, I guess, just mingling in the community. And I think a lady voiced that same opinion last week when she said, you know, there's a park across the street of some type, and she was concerned for the kids. But is it fair to just stigmatize someone based on the fact that they have HIV?
Well, I mean, no, it's not. But, I mean, you're not just bringing one or two people in the community with those type of things. You're just bringing,
what's your name, sir?
My name's Russ with
Building full of people, 500 people or whatever.
I'm gonna write that down, Russ.
Oh.
Okay, and so you're, and I understand what you're saying, Mr. Clark. I think we did the show last week about the myths and stigma associated with HIV, and the show was dealing with what was going on in Como, because it appears that a lot of your neighbors feel exactly the same way. They don't want the facility in the neighborhood simply because ex-offenders and people that are infected with HIV will be living there.
You know, I come down here sometimes in shorts, man.
And I understand I can't say pro or con or yay or nay, because I'm not going to be a member of that community, so I don't get a say in it. But I do hear you. Is there anything else that you would say to Mayor Moncrief and the city council if they, let's just say, by chance hear this tape? You want them to know what?
I want them to know that the Lake Como community is not prepared for what they are trying to put on our community.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not prepared for it.
Is it you're saying that the size of Lake Como cannot handle a facility of that size, or just the fact that the type of persons that they're going to put in the community that the community can't handle?
It's not the size. It's just the type of people they're wanting to put in our community.
Okay. Well, Mr. Clark, your voice was heard. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Pastor Campbell, what do you think of what the caller said?
Everybody's entitled to their own view.
Yeah, I agree with that totally. I'm going to say again, if you want to call in and weigh in on this topic, 347-850-8390 is the number to call. If you all think that you can keep the Samaritan House out of Lake Como by just going on the 3rd and having voted no for the Samaritan House project coming in is going to keep them from coming, you have another thing to learn about how politics work in this city. I'm not saying whether or not that's going to happen, but I do believe that it's going to take more than what you all did to stop that project. From what I'm hearing, the Samaritan House already has the green light. They're just basically doing a courting of the community to try to get more people on their side. But whether or not you want it or not, I'm hearing they're coming. They're going to come in there. But I think through prayer and some works on you all's part, anything is possible. But I think if you all sit down and expect that just getting up and going down there on the 3rd is going to stop it, I think you're wrong. Pastor Campbell, do you agree with me?
Wholeheartedly.
Get up and do something. If that's put a sign in your yard, if that's write a letter to the mayor, if that's to call the mayor's office, to call Carter Burvett's office, to get up and go to the city council meeting on the 3rd, whatever, if y'all have to do a funeral procession at Mike Moncrief's house to show him that issue is dead in Lake Como, I say you need to do it all. Because I, Pastor Campbell is not as radical as I am, but I just think all of the above is going to be needed in order to keep this from happening. I think it's not going to be as simple as a lot of people think it's going to be. I think it's going to take some real smart people that's against it to put their heads together, and I think y'all have a lot of great leaders that are against it. But I think y'all got to help them out. I think y'all got to get up and call Pastor Campbell, call Pastor Barnes, and ask them what you all can do, how you can help to keep this from happening. I'm going to go back to the phone line, 817-600. You're on the line.
Yes, I want to call in as a young person who's lived in the community. I've lived out here all my life. And I have seen the growth and the changes in Como as it has gone through the years. And I was the person who was against seeing the Samaritan House brought out here. I felt that it would bring problems and persons that the community may not need out here at this present time. And not only just talking about people with HIV, that's the least of my worries. The people who have been imprisoned or incarcerated who would be brought out here, those people have to walk the streets or they have to go places. And it's that type of environment for a single family area and residential area is just not safe. We have to keep in mind that Como not only has churches out here, but we have two schools. We have Como Montessori and also Como Elementary, and there are several daycare facilities that are within just minutes of where they are proposing to put the Samaritan House. And for somebody that has gone away to school and came back in the middle of this and having to gather all the information that I possibly could gather and hear everything and everybody's sides, I didn't listen to just one person, but I went back and came up with my own conclusion and thought about it for myself and even researched and studied and called other people to find out what they thought about it, you know, coming in areas in other cities. And I thought the community's voice was heard. We were heard loud and clear that we do not, and I repeat myself, we do not want the Samaritan House in the Lake Como community.
Connor, were you the same one that called in last week and said this would be a cross between a project and a homeless shelter?
I sure was.
Okay, and you based that again on, is it a Samaritan House in Atlanta that you say?
It was not a Samaritan House. That was not the name that that particular facility was given. It was, they had another name for it in Atlanta. But I can assure you that when you walked around that area, and I, as a college student, I tried to avoid that area as much as possible because the high level of drugs and crime that was going on around there, it was so high that the students, and I'll just say it, that it was built almost directly behind Clark Atlanta University. And people were being killed in that area. Multiple students were being robbed, stabbed, killed, pickpocketed. It didn't matter what the concern was, because even though the city could say they were monitoring who was coming in there, you can't monitor 24/7, 7 days a week who's coming in there, and you don't know who the people that you have in there, who they're letting in there with them.
This is very true.
And so people were being hurt, and finally enough, the city heard the board of trustees from all of the collective schools in our, in that area hear their voice, and they said to get them those things out of that area. And I can tell you now that that area has been flattened out, and it is nothing but gravel and dry land there. And I'm hoping that the schools will decide to buy that land and will come up with something else to put there. But I guarantee you, I would hate to see the city of Fort Worth bring something like that into Lake Como and watch and sit back and have to watch the effects that it has on this community.
Thank you for that caller.
Or maybe that's the city's plan intentionally. I don't know. What
yeah.
I'm saying is that I don't want to see that out here, and I would hate to see this community have to suffer and deal with what the repercussions of putting that Samaritan House could possibly be.
Caller, let me ask you, how long have you been in Lake Como?
I have lived in Lake Como for 21 years, my entire life.
Okay.
I have seen, like I said, I attend Zion Baptist Church, and I've gone to school. I have classmates that live out here. The men in my life that taught me how to tie my first tie were people that lived in this community, people like Willard Hinton and Mr. Wilder and people, Miss Wilma Philpott, people's names that they don't call. And although it seems as though Mayor Mike Moncrief has forgotten, but Miss Viola Pitts, I lived right next door to her for the beginning of my childhood, growing up almost until I was almost 8 years old, I believe. So I watch those people. I watch how they carried themselves. I watch how they talked. And I watched how they felt about their community. And I can tell you that this is not something that they feel would be productive nor beneficial for Lake Como.
Wow. Thank you, caller. You are loud and clear. Listen, if you'd like to weigh in, the number is 347-850-8390. You need to press 1 on your phone to let me know that you want to speak out, say something, tell us if you voted for or against the project, the Samaritan Project coming into Lake Como. If you think, folks, that just listening on the phone lines is going to stop the Samaritan House from coming into Lake Como, you are wrong. I think you need to speak loud and clear and let the city council, let your mayor, let the county and the state who's about to release funds to help the Samaritan House come in there, that you guys do not want your tax dollars spent this way. Pastor Campbell, you agree with that?
I definitely do.
Y'all heard it. I mean, you're jamming my phone lines. I definitely appreciate the participation, but I really do want to hear from you. I want to hear if you voted for or against the project. We understand there was a 365-41 vote on the 3rd. I'm sure some of you were there. I just want to know, what did you feel when you went in and voted? I want to know basically why you voted the way you voted. If you want the Samaritan House in there, don't you want the Samaritan House in there? I just want to know and hear from you. Mayor Moncrief probably needs to hear as well, because on the 8th, it is Pastor, what time is that, 7 o'clock on the 8th?
It is at 7 o'clock, Carrie. And, Carrie, I'm going to have to, I know it's about 3 minutes to 4. I think your program is over at 4.
Actually, we're going to go until 5, Pastor.
Okay.
But I appreciate your participation.
All right. Well, thank you so very much for allowing me to come, and we'll talk later about all that has happened today.
Thank you, Pastor.
Bye-bye.
If you all don't understand the importance of getting out and voting on this project, y'all are so wrong. If y'all think that politics works where you don't have to do anything other than go and vote, you're wrong. As Pastor Campbell said, this was just the preliminary race when you went in there and you, or the primaries, when you went in there and you voted on the 3rd, that was not it. Politics just doesn't work that way. If y'all think that your president got to the White House by just submitting his interest in being a part of the presidential race, it was a much bigger fight than that. Trust me, it was a lot that went on behind the scenes in order for him to get where he got. You guys are going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to put your boxing gloves on, and you're going to have to go 10, 12 rounds before this is over. It's not that simple. I mean, if you all don't understand that the green light pretty much means no matter what the citizens have said, they're going to do it anyway. And so if you don't say anything, that's just what's going to happen. If it's kind of like they say, the squeakiest wheel is the one that gets oil. Same principle. The louder you talk, the more people realize that you are not the one. I don't know how to drive that home any better than I have. I mean, I did this forum today because I understood as a black person how often our voices are not heard, how often we don't come together enough as a community and do what we need to do, how often we'll stand on the corner and do Monday morning quarterbacking about what happened, how often we'll be in the beauty shops and the barber shops talking about it, but we don't do enough about it. I don't know how to drive it home enough. I was at the meeting on the 3rd. I saw the sea of cars out in front of the community center. I paid attention to what people were saying as they came out of the community center. But you know what? That doesn't mean a thing to City Hall unless they hear from you, and they hear from you loudly that this is not what you want. It's going to happen. And I am not a part of Lake Como. I've never lived there. I'm not even from the Fort Worth community. But I do know enough about the history of Lake Como to know that there's a lot of people that fought long and hard, like the Viola Pitts, to make that a great community for you all to live in. And it would be a shame for those that came after her not to do their part for the generation that will follow. Now, if you want your children to grow up with that facility in there, then you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. But if that is not the case, then I think you should speak out and speak loudly. Pastor Campbell, Pastor Barnes, they've been on a course for a while fighting for Lake Como and this issue because they are passionate about making certain that the residents of Lake Como get a fair deal as far as this American House Project is concerned. But it's not fair to assume that the leaders are going to be the only ones that have to fight. I think you all have got to realize that the fight also exists with you all putting signs in your yards, maybe wearing T-shirts, maybe going down to the city council meeting in overwhelming numbers, maybe by calling the mayor's phone lines, calling Carter Burdett, your council person, phone lines, and telling them and voicing your opinions about what's happening. Otherwise, trust me, the Samaritan House Project will move forward in Lake Como. The number to call in at is 347-850-8390. I just want to hear, how did you vote? Did you vote for it? Were you against it? How did you feel when you first heard the Samaritan House was coming in to Lake Como? Did you ever question why they chose Como as the place to build this facility? Did you ever wonder why they were going to spend $15 million to put a facility in Lake Como as opposed to spreading that $15 million out across the city of Fort Worth? Did any of that ever bother you? If it had been on A Street, as I told Pastor Barnes, over in that community, trust me, there would have been a lot of opposition. There would have been people who had signs and T-shirts and petitions and all of that and more, because that's just not the kind of thing that happens over on that side of town. That said, Como in the past was a fighting community. Are y'all still a fighting community? I mean, are y'all the type of people today that will fight as hard as Viola Pitts would fight? I saw the people there on the 3rd when I went to the vote, but I don't know if you all realize that the battle may not be a one-night battle. The battle may be all summer and over into the winter in order for you all to get an absolute no from the city that they're not coming in there. That said, it would be a shame if in fact the people of Lake Como did not want this to happen, and then it did because you all didn't speak loudly and clearly enough. I don't know. Again, I'm going to give you the opportunity to call in at 347-850-8390 and talk to me about this. If not, I'm going to conclude the show early and say that I have given the callers an opportunity to voice their opinions, and you all jammed my phone lines, but you didn't talk to me. And that is not why I put a forum on. I don't put a forum on to just tell you what I think. I put a forum on so that you can tell me what you think as well. Like I told you, I'm not from Lake Como. I think it's a beautiful community with a lot of great people, but great people have to let their voices be heard. That said, good luck to the community on keeping that project out of there. It seems like your vote should speak for itself, but in life that's not always the case. I've done my part. I came out. I met the people. I put on the forum. I will go to the phone line, 817-654. Good afternoon. You're on the line.
Hello, how you doing?
Fine, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I have a question. What is the city councilman's position on building in Como compared to other areas?
I am not in a position to answer that, and Pastor Campbell had to leave us. From what I understand, Steve Dutton with the Samaritan House told them that They chose that site because the land was cheap. And from what I'm hearing, the city has given them the green light on coming in there, and so it's really up to the community to get up and do it quickly so that they don't move forward. They're not supposed to be finished with a project until 2013, but that means that could be a long battle from now on with the citizens of Lake Como and the Samaritan House. But I don't know if that community is ready for that fight.
Okay, I'm just wondering why, because that city council person represents Como and he represents Ridgely, and why does it end up in Como, and has he stated his reasons why? It's beyond price. Because I look at it, you have people with HIV, is it close to any medical facilities?
You know, that's a good question, seeing that the hospital district is across town. No, I wouldn't think it is. Unless you know of a hospital that's close to Lake Como, I don't.
Okay, because I think they said, well, it should be maybe we have hospitals off of, like, the Bryan area, on the, like the Methodist hospitals in that area, and we have, of course, downtown. To me, it would be more logical, but just because the medical needs are more than the average person.
You know, that's a very good question. Carter Burdett is the one that is actually the council person over there, and I understand that he said, I think I understood Pastor Campbell this morning to say that Burdett said he would go with whatever the people wanted, but we'll see if that's what he says on the 8th when the people of Lake Como go before the city council.
Because I just wonder also, it's easy to probably pick on Lake Como for they're going to say, well, they may raise a little cane in the end, we can do it. It's kind of like how they did Section 8 housing. It's easy to dump it in, like the east side of Fort Worth, Woodhaven area. They may raise a little complaints, but they're really not going to do any action. But like years ago when they bought that apartment complex on the open market on Hewlett Street, the residents uproar, screaming and hollering, and then the housing authority made a compromise and said, we're only going to make 25% of the area of the housing complex for Section 8 housing, how they acquiesce to the residents. In this situation here, the residents may vote, but will they acquiesce to how the residents want it to be done?
And see, that's what I don't know that the Lake Como community really understands, because I talked to a couple of people coming out of the meeting, and they were basically saying, I voted. You know, what else is there? And so that almost seemed to me to say that, you know, this deal is dead. We're here, we represent it, and we can now go home. And they didn't seem to me to grasp the fact that politics is a little dirtier than that, and just because you voted did not mean that the battle was over, that it could be much longer and much more drawn out than just one vote. I mean, it could be any number of things that...
I'm not up to speed. So have they already purchased the land?
I asked that question to Dorothy DeBose on last week, and she said that it's under contract. I think the Fort Worth Star-Telegram on the 10th did a story as well that stated that they had the property under contract. But I think what I'm understanding from the Samaritan House is that they're still seeking funding. They're asking for city funding, state funding, and county funding on this particular issue.
I mean, of course, if I was like in Rivercrest originally, I would vote for it to have it overcome, as long as it's not in my area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
exactly.
I'm like, and my point is, okay, if they already have it under contract, what was the purpose of the vote? Without getting the people's concern about even building it there first, why put some on the contract and buy some? So if the people say no, what are you going to do with the land if you already purchased it?
You know, I talked with Steve Dutton on last week. And Steve Dutton basically, you know, I got from him was, you know, we're going to go and see if we can't make some friends in Lake Como. And, if, you know, hopefully we'll make enough of them that we can just go forward. And this thing can
make some
behind
friends
us.
In Como. It seemed to be ought to make it friends before this came down.
Well, I don't think that they thought they were going to come up against any opposition. And then when the opposition came, they go, okay, we got to go to Plan B. We got to make a couple of friends over there, and maybe they can help us to smooth this over. That's just kind of the mood that I got from speaking with Mr. Dunn. And but I heard from several people that the green light is already on this project. I mean, it's
I just wonder, you know, we have so many areas in town. Why Lake Como? Why not Park Hill? Why not Rivercrest? Why is it already they got the plans on Lake Como without making a general discussion at a city council meeting where to put this the new housing for these people who have a somewhat a special need?
You know what? That's a very good question. You know, I'm surprised that they're going to go in and they're going to knock down a motel, not that the motel is so great, but they're also going to disturb some existing houses. And so that seems odd that they would be willing to disturb a community, a single-family community, in order to put up a three-story facility. That almost seems like out of place by itself. But like I said, if you don't think you're going to come up against any opposition and you're going to get the land cheap, wouldn't you do that as well?
I mean, but it'd be odd, but I think it's beyond the price of the land. I think more so they're going to say, yeah, they might complain, but they're not going to do anything. They're really not going to be. We kind of like, after the apartment complex is built, then black people may complain, or the residents, because there's so many people live out of Como of various nationalities. But it's just easy. We just another project here. A few people will complain, but we're going to get our way in the end, and we're not going to consult anybody before we even break ground.
You know, I don't know the Lake Como area very well. I don't know. I consider it a working-class neighborhood, but I don't know how they chose that community in terms of they didn't feel like the people would care. That's what I'm surprised by. That they just thought that they would just go in there and just build a facility. And Pastor Campbell explained to us earlier that per their research, every other place they put it in other cities, it was in industrial areas. So it's very odd to me that they would choose a residential area in Fort Worth to come into.
Well, I think it's strange you would put an apartment arena in an industrial area in the first place. That's odd, but I was wondering, because I'm looking at, just because of perhaps a more special need, they might have more frequent doctor's visits. I don't know, but to me, it would be more of an area close to the hospital district or close to a series of hospitals or medical facilities if they have, or, you know, places where they have probably a person with HIV, I would assume, would probably have to go to more pharmacy more often for their various medications.
You know what? I understand that it would have ex-offenders, ex-drug addicts, or recovering drug addicts, I guess I should say.
That's a different thing. And so you say you build a Samaritan house, and if you say now if you're going to bring in, like, ex-offenders and stuff, now that's different. Like the one caller said earlier, we got schools there. We got a bunch of daycares. You drive down Horn, there's a bunch of churches, and there's two schools there, you know, Montessori and Como Elementary, and a bunch of daycares there. So, and we're going to have ex-offenders roaming around there. What type of ex-offenders there, too? It's a big question right there. So I'm kind of wondering why.
That is a question. But they're also going to have, like I said, ex-offenders, recovering recovering drug addicts. They're also going to have what's considered chronically ill people and those infected with HIV and AIDS. So I agree with you. With the chronically ill and the HIV and AIDS cases, you would think that they want to get very close to a hospital facility that could deal with that issue.
Because to me, I think that, to me, the almost logical to purchase some, and even if it's a little bit more, you got to look at the overall need of the people you're trying to serve. Is that maybe somewhere off Cambuie, closer to downtown, where there's quick access to, mm-hmm. to their special needs? I'm just wondering why on that location compared to any other area. Was there a study? Have they been open with the discussion about putting this place there? Or they just say, we found a spot. They're not going to complain that much. Let's go with it. Now let's go to this. Now they got to deal with the issue. We got 90% of the people don't want it. How are we going to deal with that issue?
I agree. Caller, I thank you for that call. I'm going to go back to the phone lines, 817-731. You're on the line. Hello? 817-731. I'm going to try that again. 817-731, you're on the line. We are experiencing some technical difficulties with picking up that call. I apologize. 817-731, I tried to get you in, but I'm not able to open up your phone line for some reason. 817-731, one last time. That said, I really don't know how this is all going to end for Lake Como. However, I feel like in the end, though in my gut, they're going to put the project in there, and after the fact, the Lake Como residents will be angry for a while, and the community we'll get over it, and everything will move forward, because politics is dirty, and sometimes when you don't understand the rules of the game, no matter how skillful you are, you won't win, because it is important to understand how to play the game. And most people don't understand that when a politician runs for an election, it starts so much earlier than you actually seeing him. It starts by him going to meet people that he thinks may help him with what he's trying to do. It's courting the people that he feels that can help him. And I think a lot of that's going on right now, that the politicians. Let me go back to the phone lines. 817-731. You're on the line.
Hello?
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 Yes, sir.
This is Pastor Campbell. I was just calling back. I'm available to be with you for a little while longer.
Okay, okay. Pastor Campbell, I was just trying to drive home how they do not seem to realize the importance. My phone lines are jammed. I do not understand to call in and just listen on this issue. That is just, I don't know, just unbelievable, incredible to me that they don't understand the importance of speaking up and speaking loudly and speaking clearly on this issue. I'm thrown back by that. I don't understand.
What is it? Tell me, what is it that you don't understand? Is it that because maybe people are not speaking up?
Yeah, I think I'm concerned that I think it's nothing. I don't know if they think that they're going to get in trouble for saying I voted against it. There are no rights and wrongs in this, I don't think. I think if you say I voted against it or I voted for it, there's no right or wrong. I think it's just a matter of being clear on which side of the fence you're on.
Well,
I mean, that's just my take on it. I don't understand to just listen and say, oh, they said this and they said that. Again, that's getting back in the beauty shop, in the barbershop, and talking about what was said, but not doing anything about what was said. I think this forum was a great opportunity to speak out, you know, and say, you know, I went on the 3rd. I went to the meeting on the 1st, and you know, this is what I felt. But for them to just call in, I guess, I don't know, I just expected a different outcome after seeing what I saw on the 3rd.
Well, I think what you might be anticipating something that they demonstrated by their vote.
Mm.
You know, once people do it, they've done it.
Okay, okay.
Maybe you're anticipating something that's already taken place.
Okay. And you know what, in Pastor, you may be right. You may be exactly right. Because you know what, everybody is not verbal. You know, I'm a very verbal person, but everybody is not.
We're finding out.
I think you know, some people say, hey, you know, I have spoken with my vote, you know, so there's nothing else I need to do other than go down there and cast my vote and it will speak for me. And maybe that's the case. Maybe I'm wrong to expect anything more. But I just thought that sometimes a voice can speak louder than black and white, you know, because black and white can sometimes be tampered with, but your voice cannot be. It is unique to just you.
That's true.
You understand what I'm saying? And so I think that's where I was going. A caller called in and asked the question earlier. Did you hear that question that I was not able to address?
No, I did not.
Let me give him an opportunity to ask you again. I was completely lost at that question. 817-654, what was that question that you asked me that I was not able to answer for you?
Well, what did the city council person think about the selection of Lake Como compared to other areas? He represents Ridgely around there, but how did he end up with Lake Como?
The dirt, from what I was told, the dirt is cheaper over here.
To me, that's a red herring.
It is, but that's what they said. They said, Dutton said, Steve Dutton, who is over the Samaritan House, said that the land was cheaper here than other places. Now, what does that tell you?
Did he give you some comps?
What now?
He said, did he give you some comps? Some
comparable prices.
No, I'm reasonably sure what he did. He probably went on Town Appraisal District's website and looked at the property values and other places, you know, the tax rolls, et cetera, and so forth. No, sir, he did not. He said that in a meeting where we were in attendance.
Hmm. Well, what was y'all's response when he said that?
Well, I kind of gristled a little bit, you know, and I began to kind of question, well, what makes the dirt cheaper over here than right over on the other side of Bryant Irving?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, if you keep doing stuff like that, the dirt going to continue to get cheaper. How are we going to get the dirt price to go up?
I hear you. I hear you, sir. I hear you.
Oh. Pastor Campbell, how do you do that? By keeping projects like that from coming in?
That's one of the things, but also I'm sure the caller would agree what we have.
We had that originally.
Yeah, that's right. What we have to do is make the community more attractive again to middle, upper middle class type persons, families who would want to build or move out here and renovate existing homes. You have to make the community desirable. It's nothing more than marketing. You have to make the community desirable for people to move in here.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that. And I don't think that people realize that. I think you stated this last week. The property values will actually decrease. Is that not correct?
I believe it would.
Okay. And you base that on what?
Just the idea, again, of that type of facility moving into an area
mm-hmm.
where people don't have, again, Steve Dutton told us that particular enterprise would create jobs.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of jobs? What kind of jobs?
And would that be jobs for the residents of Lake Como?
Again, what kind of jobs?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder what kind of jobs. Are we talking about someone might go get a job at a subway or somebody going to work for a law firm? What kind of jobs are we talking about?
That's exactly what I question.
Mm. Wow.
I mean, you want a job that people barely make over minimum wage? You want jobs where people can buy a home without government assistance?
I hear you.
Mm.
Jesus' model was when he found people, when people came to him, he healed the whole man.
Mm-hmm.
The old adage is, if you give me a fish, I will eat for a day. If you
mm-hmm.
teach me how to fish, I can take care of me and my family for a lifetime.
True. Pastor Campbell, when you all visited, or did you visit, I guess I should back up, did you visit the Samaritan House already, the one on
yes.
Hip Hill?
Yes.
And what was the facility like?
Well, the part that I saw was very nice. It was very clean. It was very wholesome,
mm-hmm.
the part that I saw. But let me tell you something. Since you asked that question, I used to work at Lockheed.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we had a potential buyer to come into the facility,
mm-hmm.
there would be certain areas that would be cleaned. I mean white glove cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
And they would show the people what they wanted them to see.
So you all did not get the opportunity to go throughout the community. You were just given a tour of basically what they wanted you all to see.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. And so you feel like possibly that may not be representative of what may come into you all's community.
Exactly.
Okay, I can completely understand that. I just, and Mr. Dutton did offer me a tour. I think they're having an upcoming tour, and he did invite me to come to the facility and see it. But I agree with you that most of the time when people give you a tour, it is just of what they want you to see.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this: when you met Mr. Dutton, someone questioned on the Robert Astley Show, Mr. Dutton's character, and I did not hear the entire conversation, so I really can't speak on it. Did you feel he was a fair person or someone that could be trusted in terms of the things that he said to the Lake Como community so far?
Well, he was a lawyer, so what does that tell you?
Oh, that's not fair to say all lawyers are bad. But
I didn't say that. You just said that. I didn't say that. I just said he was a lawyer.
You know what? You trapped me on that one. Okay, but I'm just curious because someone said that they had, on the Robert Ashley show, they had worked with Mr. Dutton in the past, and that they alluded to the fact that, you know, he could not be trusted. And I'm not saying that's the case because I don't know Mr. Dutton personally, but I was wondering, and I've got to find out who that person was and give their exact name and title because I probably shouldn't have quoted it without getting his name first. But that's what was said. You know, my conversation with him was very brief, and he, you know, opted not to come on and speak for the Samaritan House because he told me on last week that he was not a member of the community, and so therefore he didn't feel that he should speak on the matter and that it was a situation that really should be discussed amongst the members of the community. And so I said, okay, I respect that. But he seemed quite confident, though, that what he was going to do was going to happen, or what he was trying to do was going to happen. You know, he just, you know, basically said that in so many words.
Maybe so. Maybe, you know, I guess you have to think positive about something that you're going to do.
Yeah, you know what, and you are correct. You are correct. Oh. But seeing that he was coming up against so much opposition, I think I was surprised that he seemed so confident.
Well,
you see what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but some things are just a facade.
You know what? This is true. Ain't no need to go into a battle looking defeated, huh?
No. Mm-mm.
I agree. No. Call us again if you'd like to weigh in. The number is 347-850-8390. Again, y'all got the phone line jammed. If you'd like to weigh in and say something, give me your statement. What do you feel about it? Did you vote yes? Did you vote no? Why is it that you want the Samaritan House to come into Lake Como? Why is it that you don't want it to come into Lake Como? We'd like to hear from you. Pastor Campbell has told you why he didn't want it in the community. Last week we had a forum in which we talked about those that were for and those that were against as far as Pastor Jones stated why he thought it should come in there. Pastor Barnes and Pastor Campbell explained to us why they felt it would hurt the community. Do the residents of Lake Como feel it is going to hurt their community? And if so, why? Just want to know. I, like I told you, I'm not a member of this community. I like Lake Como. I've been through there many times. Drew's Cafeteria, some of the other spots in there, I've been there. I think it was a chicken place that I used to eat at there from time to time. I like Lake Como. That said, it could change if the Samaritan House comes into Lake Como. In many ways, some are saying it's going to saturate already hurting community with even more problems. Pastor Campbell, I don't know how well we can drive, I mean, how much more we can drive that home. You understand? I mean, you agree with that?
Well, you know, the Lord calls the nation of Israel children.
Mm.
Calls them the children of Israel. And one reason is they have to be guided and spoken to again and again about the same thing. And it doesn't hurt. Redundancy is not bad. Just reminding people of what they already know or what they need to do. It's just putting it on their minds. That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing. And we can say it over and over and over.
You know what? Pastor Campbell, you told me earlier that when you go to the city council meeting on the 8th, you were going to put on what, your comfortable shoes, bring a lawn chair, and do what else?
No, I won't have a lawn chair, but I'm sure I'll have on some comfortable shoes and be prepared to sit there and wait.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times what they do on an issue like that, if a large group of people show up, don't they typically put that vote toward the end of the agenda?
I've heard they do, and they probably will do it this time that same way. Now, of course, certain things have happened. Sometimes they fool you and put things at the very beginning,
hoping
that the majority will show up late.
That is so true.
You know,
and, y'all, that is one of the tricks. You are exactly right. If they look out in the audience and see that not a lot of people are represented from Lake Como, you're right, Pastor, they could throw it in first.
Exactly.
And vote on it then, or if a lot of people are there, they typically put it on the back end. Correct, Pastor?
That's what I've heard, and that's what I've seen.
Yeah. And so one thing you probably don't want to do on the 8th is be on what they call CP time, colored people's time. You might want to get there a little early, find your parking space, get comfortable, and all of that, and get ready for whatever is going to take place because, I don't know, I've never been to a city council vote on an issue like this, so it's going to be very interesting to be there on the 8th and see exactly how that happens. I think if it's starting at 7, that you be there at 6:30 in order to get a good seat and get comfortable, and because I really anticipate that it's going to be standing room only. Don't you, Pastor?
I hope so.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking that if the same amount of people show up, or better, not just the same amount, or better show up at the city council meeting that showed up for the vote, that makes it very clear that they're in for a battle, you know, and it's not just going to be these people are going to come down here and let us, you know, tell them that we're going to come in there without knowing that the people are prepared to fight.
Well,
you know, I will love to see the outcome of this because if it's anything like the vote that took place on the 3rd, it should be very interesting. But you know, the city council is different because it's really only one of those persons up there that's going to be representing your community. The rest of them probably don't want the project in their community either. So it would be to their advantage to probably vote for it, Pastor.
You have a good point.
Yeah.
We hope.
So y'all got to realize, y'all got to get a whole bunch of people to think like y'all do because the Kathleen Hickses and the other council people probably don't want that project to be moving toward their side of town. So
Why not?
And I'm not saying Kathleen is going to vote that way. I have not spoken with her. But, I mean, she probably doesn't want this battle in her neighborhood.
Why not?
Why? Well, because if actually she represents my side of town, and the people over here, they are fighters. And so that said, she probably wouldn't want all of that that's going on in Lake Como to go on in her community. So
okay.
It would probably be to her advantage to vote for it and then move forward.
Well,
I don't know.
Let me ask you a question. All right, let's turn the tables for a minute. Let me interview you on that same situation. Why would you not want the Samaritan House in your neighborhood?
You know, I haven't heard enough about it to say yay or nay, Pastor. So I couldn't take a vote today. I have not had that tour by Mr. Dutton yet, so I have not.
Based on the information that you've already acquired, why wouldn't you want the Samaritan House over in your neighborhood?
You know what, Pastor? I'll be very honest with you. The whole issue of the HIV is not an issue for me because I realize that there's more people infected than we know already, and most of those people are you know, at the places we eat, the places we, you know, go to their, you know, motels, all those types. They work where we go, and we see them every day. So that's not my issue. My issue would be more about the ex-offenders and the recovering drug addicts because I think – even though those people are recovering or ex-offenders, in some cases, those are going to be re-offenders, and they're going to be drug persons that will go back and lapse into their old habits. That said, that's going to be in the community, and so that's where I would have the problem at if they, you know, fell off the wagon or got back into a life of crime, then they would be already in my community. That's it. And it's the amount that they're putting in there. That's my issue.
So you don't think your community could be saturated, should be saturated with, say, 150 families, persons who possibly have the HIV virus, homeless persons, and ex-offenders? Could your community not absorb them?
You know what? I would think that $15 million would be better spent spread out across the city than in one place. Why saturate one area with so much? Why not take that and spread that out? That would be my thing. That Lake Como is a quiet single family neighborhood. To put it over there seems a bit much. But if you think nobody's going to say anything, if you think you're going to get away with it, then you probably would. In the side of town that I live on, there's a whole bunch of loud talkers and people who are fighters over here. They would be on every radio show saying they were against it. They would be calling Channel 8 and Channel 11. They would be with signs in the yards and T-shirts and collecting money to do this or that. So I know how my community does things, but I don't know that I see that same fight in Lake Como yet.
What you have to remember is, like you said, Como, I think Pastor Bond said it like this, Como is kind of a bedroom community, but you can wake up a sleeping giant.
Oh, you might need to. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
And I'm not saying that the giant is not waking up. I'm saying that the giant is awake, and everything that you just said about signs in the yard, if you drive through Como, you will see some signs that say No Samaritan House.
I think every yard needs a sign, if they don't want it in the community. I don't think it needs to be one on every block. I think there needs to be one in the yard of every house.
I think what has happened is all of the signs were not made like the person who said they were going to make them have not been made yet. But as far as T-shirts, they're being pressed even as we speak.
Okay. Because I would think that there needs to be bake sales and, I don't know, Kool-Aid fans, whatever it takes to raise some money to get the T-shirts, whatever. I mean, people need to dig deep in their pockets and come up with whatever, if it's banners that's needed, all of that, you know, and even more needs to be being done to say, hey, stop this from coming in here, you know, because I think a community like that, if they don't want it there and it is put there, what is that going to do for the community, for the morale of the community? You understand what I'm saying, Pastor?
Of course. However, let's go on the extreme liberal side.
Mm-hmm.
Just suppose that the Samaritan House did make it into the community.
Okay.
I assure you that the residents of Como would treat people with dignity and respect.
Okay.
We would not. I assure you, there would not be any race riots.
Okay.
There would not be any settlers being surrounded like they did on the Old West movies, where the wagon train was surrounded by the Apaches or the Comanches.
Right.
We would not do all of that crazy stuff. We would not walk around with torches and staves and weapons like they did in the old Frankenstein movies. That would not happen.
But you know what, Pastor? One thing I do know about life is fear can drive a man to do some strange things. And if people are really fearful of a certain thing, whether that be from misunderstanding it or just from a stigma attached to it or whatever, that can cause you to think irrationally about it and then therefore act irrationally. Is that not correct?
Fear can, but let's go to the other side. The Lord did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of might and a sound mind. Love can make you do some strange things as well.
True.
I mean,
we know that love is not the driving force in this issue. It's I'm not saying it's fear.
Love for the community is.
Okay. But
yeah,
I agree. I think for the most part, I saw when I was there on the 3rd, most of these people knew each other. Everybody was hugging each other and saying, hey, I haven't seen you in a while, and everybody knew everybody's mama and was asking, well, how's your mama, how's your sister? So everybody seemed to know everybody. That's what I was very surprised. I'd never been in a situation where so many Como residents were all together, and I was very surprised by that. And so that said, the community has 5,000 people. Or is that number exaggerated?
We know a lot of people out here in the community because we all grew up out here. We went to the same high schools,
mm-hmm.
Como Elementary, Como Middle School, Como High School. we knew folk. We went to church with that. We went to church with people. We interacted with folk.
Mm-hmm.
When you know people, you just know people.
Well, see, my point was, if all 5,000 of them got up, which I know some of them are elderly and won't be able to, but of that 5,000, those that were able-bodied would get up and go to the city council meeting on the 8th, there would not be room in the city council chambers to hold those people. I don't think there's 5,000 seats or anywhere near close to 5,000 seats in the city council chamber, is there?
I know there's not.
Okay. So that's what I'm saying. You know, there was a great number that came out the other night, but if the rest that did not come out would all get up and in a unified effort, you know, give each other rides down there, you know, get on the phone and call your neighbors and stuff and say, hey, you know, I'm going down there. Do you want to ride? You want to ride down there with me and let's go and show support for the Como community. I think that's what needs to happen. I think that as many people as possible need to attend and just say and even speak. I don't know. What is the process of speaking to the city council? What do you have to do? Do you have to get there early and sign in? How does that work?
Well, Pastor Maurice Barnes can tell you better than I can. I went a few years ago, in fact, about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's still a little bit foggy to me. I think you sign a card, and they will allow you to speak for a certain length of time.
And I don't think you can get there late and get that process. I think you have to get there a little early in order to make certain that you're going to be on the agenda, don't you?
You probably do. I just don't remember it.
Okay.
You know, I just don't remember the whole process.
I would suggest to any of the members of the Lake Como community that are going to be attending and want to speak that they get there early and find out what is the proper protocol if you want to go and speak that night and say why you are for or why you are against the Samaritan House Project coming into Lake Como, that you do that. I mean, because otherwise I'm just of the thinking that if you show up at 7:30, that they probably are not going to let you speak. You know what I'm talking about, Pastor? You know
yeah,
how they
do. Point.
Yeah.
I have a good point.
Yeah.
All right. For sure, I'm going to have to go now.
Okay, Pastor, thank you for your participation again. That was Pastor W.L.D. Campbell of the West Mount Moriah Baptist Church that told us what he thought of the project coming into Lake Como. And we appreciate him last week and this week coming and being a part of the show. I have said all I can say. I feel that this forum gave everyone that was a member of the Lake Como community an opportunity to call in and speak. I appreciate you all listening on the phone lines. However, I'm a little disappointed that you all did not speak out. Those that did, I appreciate you. And those that just called in and listened, it's great for my show to have you call in, but however, I'd love to hear from you. I think I've done due diligence to this subject. I talked about it last week, and I talked about it this week. I hope everything works out well for the community of Lake Como, but we will see come June 8th when the vote is actually taking place. I see someone wants to say something, so we're going to go back to the phone lines at 817-457. You're on the line. Good afternoon.
Hello, I'm looking at the city council agenda for June 8th.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's somewhere way down on the agenda
mm-hmm.
right now. That doesn't mean that that's where it'll stay. It's
okay, so
like number 15, item number 15F.
Out of how many?
I don't know how many, but it's number 15F under award of contract. And what they'll be talking about under award of contract is the $61,000 that they're trying to give away in home investment partnerships and grants, et cetera, one of which is to support the housing project known as the Villages of Vickery to be located at the intersection of Horn Street and West Vickery.
Right.
That's what the agenda says today.
I appreciate you telling us that. But you have you ever been down to the city council as they voted on different issues?
I've not actually been in a city council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the same meeting that Steve Dutton was in and got what you consider the green light from the housing free council or committee or whatever they're called, advisory committee.
Mm-hmm.
So it is critical that we show up on Tuesday, June 8th, to let them know that we are still against them dispersing these funds for the purpose of Samaritan House.
Mm-hmm.
And to let you know, what we've been learning in our information meetings is that those funds will be used to do environmental studies, noise tests, to put greenery along the tracks of the railroads that's never been put there over these 40 years that hotel's been there. So those $61,000 needs to be stopped for the use of the Samaritan House. So that's what it looks like on the agenda right now.
And that will be coming from the city of Fort Worth, the $61,000.
It will be coming from, I'm going to read where it's coming from. Let's see. It is going to be coming from, almost hang with me.
Mm-hmm. Were you at the vote on the 3rd?
Yes, I was there. It'll be coming from, let's see, authorized a change in the use of expenditure of $61,000 in Home Investment Partnerships Program grant funds to Tarrant County Samaritan Housing in the form of a loan for pre-development costs related to proposed yada, yada, yada. Looks like, I think it's city, state, county.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When you were there on the 3rd, what was the mood of the people you felt?
Well, first of all, I would like to commend the committee for the process. I thought the process ran very smoothly.
You were great.
It was a very warm, crowded area, but the people were on very good behavior. They were very patient with the process, and the process ran smoothly. So I want to commend them. So I think everybody did what they wanted to do. They had a ballot that was considered a secret ballot, and you were able to vote yes or no. It was very simple. Ballot, and then a committee of folks, counters, mm-hmm. counted the ballots, and a few people hung around to hear the vote. And so I would say I'd like to commend the committee. I thought the process went very well.
Let me ask you, did you vote for or against the project?
Voted against the project.
Can I ask you why you did not want the Samaritan Project to come in? They're like, come on.
You know, I think it's what we've all been saying, that we are not against the ministry of the Samaritan House. I believe that we feel that it is going to dishevel or deceive, whatever word you want to use, uproar, make an uproar in the community of Como as a single-family community. We just believe that is not the right place for it, that it should be in more of an urban village community, somewhat like the one that we've been using these terms for the last 2 or 3 months now, like the one on Hemp Hill. It is not necessarily in a residential area, as we know as a single-family residential. That's not to say that there aren't residences somewhere around, but it's not in a residential area as we know it. It is more in a commercially zoned urban village environment, and we believe that that's how it should be whenever they build it, wherever they're going to build it. And that is not what that area at the end of Como would look like.
If they do, they being the city council, give the green light on the 8th, what are you prepared to do in terms of, are you going to say, okay, they said they're going to bring it in here, so I'm going to stop, I've done all I can do, or will you do more?
Well, I think it's going to be important. Well, let me say this. One of the representatives used some words that I'd like to just restate. I do believe that this process in some way has galvanized the community.
Okay.
and made them think,
mm-hmm.
that perhaps we have been a little bit lackadaisical in paying attention to what's going on with our community.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would be willing to be a part of any group of folks who would like to see if we can't keep this same enthusiasm for future oppositions. Because I think it's very important that we make sure that our voices continue to be heard. You know, Ms. Viola Pitts just had a way of being able to get her point across.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that if the city council does not listen to the voices of the 365 folks who voted,
mm-hmm.
I believe that what they're saying is that they do not respect the opinion of the people.
I agree with that.
And
I agree with that 100%. And has that ever happened in Lake Como where you all have not wanted something to come in there and it came in anyway?
Well, you know, I really don't know. I can't say that I can answer that question with any degree of intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because
Do you remember a situation in which that occurred?
Pardon me?
To your knowledge, you don't remember a situation in which something like that occurred?
I don't. Somebody else on the line can probably speak to that who knows a little bit more about Como.
Okay. Because, you know, as I spoke, you know, A Street is just what comes to mind every time I think about a community in which when they don't want something to happen, it doesn't happen. And so I really don't feel that if there was a vote like this over that area on the 3rd, that we would even be having this conversation, because I think it would be the tribe has spoken and people would move on. They would be looking for a new site.
That would be the case, and that was the case in Southwest Fort Worth. I mean, and there was fewer people, you know, fewer people voted and said they didn't want it, and they did not bring the halfway house to that area. There have been several projects that have, I think, have landed in Como that weren't necessarily desired to be there. I think someone mentioned the Lincoln Terrace and so on and so forth. But, you know, but it's a little bit, it's funded differently because that was a private investment and this mm-hmm. is federally funded stuff. So, it's, you know, it's even couched differently than some of those other projects that were not desired. Mm-hmm. And rightfully so, I believe it turned out that Lincoln Terrace, the first go-round, did not need to be in that community. That's why it is now demolished and going to be rebuilt and hopefully, you know, bigger and better. So
your issue is not with the fact that the people have HIV that are coming into the
absolutely
community.
Absolutely not. And, you know, it's unfortunate. I have to say it is unfortunate that the conversation, the issues seem to turn to it being about just HIV or just ex-offenders or just, you know, because again, I think it desensitizes us. It makes it sound like we don't have any compassion for anybody who has issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all have issues of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is really not about that so much as it is that even though individuals with those challenges need a place to be,
mm-hmm.
it needs to be the right environment. And the right environment is not a single family community. And that is the absolute issue for those of us who oppose the Samaritan House, Villages of Vickery coming into Lake Como area.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And I think, you know, even if it were one person had one issue with it and another person had another issue with it, it's just a matter of putting all of those issues together in such a large complex. It's kind of like Pastor Barnes said on last week, it's saturating the area.
Yeah.
If you will. And I think that's the unfairness in it. Even if they came in there, I think at least don't put a $15 million facility. Take that $15 million and spread it out across the city. Make it fair. Don't put all of such a large problem in one area. It almost seems as though somebody in the powers that be in the city decided Lake Como doesn't care. And
I agree, because like I said, I think we have been quiet. But I will tell you, just in one of the last information meetings, the representative, they did look at some other areas. But I will tell you, each of those areas were also primarily minority areas. They looked at United Riverside. They looked at Como. They looked at Northside. And one other area that I can't remember because I don't have my notes in front of me. But so basically, you know, they did look. But
I understand that at the meeting at Zion on the 1st,
uh-huh.
I understand that the representative from the Samaritan House was not able to answer several questions that were asked. Is that correct?
Well, in all fairness,
mm-hmm.
she answered pretty much all of the questions related to the Samaritan House, Villages of Vickery, and those plans.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was that was the only timed meeting of all 8 meetings that were held.
Really?
Yes. It had a time limit on it. So those representatives, and there was only really one Neighborhood Advisory Council officer available, and she had to leave. And
really?
So, unfortunately, the questions that she could not answer, the representative for Samaritan House, she couldn't answer the voting process. So
okay.
That's what she could not answer. But primarily, she was able to answer other questions as it relates to the Samaritan House and the to bring it there.
Okay. Well, I wish the best for the Lake Como community. I really do. But I think they're going to need more people like you who are prepared to do whatever. Because I think when you have that lackadaisical kind of attitude that somebody else is going to do it, it doesn't get done. I think
I will say, let me tell you, Como is a fighting community, and I think, as Pastor Campbell said, I think they have awakened a sleeping giant. It reminds me of Pearl Harbor. when Pearl Harbor was bombed, you know, they realized that they had awoken a sleeping giant in America. And so that's where we are in Como. I think that they have, in fact, touched us and have awakened us out of our sleep. So I'm not the only person prepared. There are a lot of people.
So you talk to a lot of people, and they are, like you, prepared to do whatever it takes.
Yeah, I think they are prepared to do whatever it takes. And you know, we will stay together as a community, mm-hmm. and that's what's important, because we saw that this was trying to reach us a little bit, but we definitely will stay together as a community, and no matter what happens. But it will definitely speak very loud, though, as to whether or not they respect the voice of the community if the city council is this through.
I agree with that totally. Caller, thank you so much for weighing in on this subject. I will say to those that tuned in this week, I thank you for your participation. I thank you that you jammed my phone lines. I'm not so happy that you all didn't speak out and tell me exactly what you thought. I think, like the lady said, you're going to have to be prepared for whatever. Politics is an interesting science of its own. I think the rules change constantly. I think if you go into it not looking to the right, to the left, to the front, to the back, you're going to get taken by surprise. And so I would suggest that all of you all go into this battle with much prayer, knowing that God gets the final say, but faith without works is dead. I would suggest that you all get up and get with the leaders of the Lake Como community, work diligently to do all that you have to do in order to be heard by the mayor, by the city council members. Let the entire city know that you all just don't want it here or want it there, and I think that's what it's going to take. That said, I'm going to close this segment of Center Stage. I have enjoyed the topic for the last 2 weeks. I hope I have been helpful in getting the information out to the community on what is going on in Lake Como. The fact that the vote was 365-41 against the Samaritan House project coming in. Maybe Steve Dutton from the Samaritan House, maybe Mike Moncrief, our mayor, and maybe Carter Burdett, your council representative, heard you this week, and maybe when you go down and vote, or go down to the city council on the 8th, it will be understood that you don't want it, and they will move on and look for another site location. That said, I'm going to close this segment of Center Stage. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/ Carrie Hines. That's K-H-E-R-I-H-I-N-E-S. I can also be found on Facebook at facebook.com/ Carrie Hines. That's K-H-E-R-I-H-I-N-E-S. Thank you guys again for tuning in. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.